And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Thursday, April 11th. I'm Josh Engelman, and I'm here to break down just a five-game NBA slate. Should be tough. We got three games pretty late, 9, 10, and 10, with the 7 and 7:30 tips coming early. So a little bit of a gap, lots of times for late swaps, which I think is pretty good if you want to play this slate and look for a little bit of additional edge. Before we get started, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Follow me on Twitter, at Josh Engelman. Give a shout out to Sleeper, presenting sponsor of this show. We'll talk about them in a little bit, but I'm going to let everybody sneak on in here, and we can start talking a little bit of basketball. What do y'all say? So good morning. Let's break down some basketball. Be better than that early baseball slate went for me yesterday. Had the lovely Joe Adell just run past second base on a clearly safe steal. That cost me 5 points and $5,000. Then I would have only needed a single from anybody that would have got up. Two separate batters to ship for 50K. Neither one of them got it. They both struck out. I go, I of course want to be here. Why wouldn't I want to be here? I want to be here every day, man. This is the best job ever. You want to see me not looking like I don't want to be at work? You should see every other previous job I had. This one is a lot different. It's a lot easier to want to not go to work when you hate your job, but I love my job. I love breaking this stuff down. Now, is the final week of the NBA season a little bit of a grind? Sure. But what are you going to do? Look, we deal with the information that we have to start the day. That's all we can do. And we expect to see most of it change by the time we get later on. Like, everybody on Boston is questionable. And they have absolutely nothing to play for. We have no idea who's playing for the Celtics today. We can't break that kind of stuff down. And it's going to create value, and we don't even know it if it exists. But now, we're just going to break down this slate. So, let's kick it on off here. Chicago Bulls. 9.5-point favorites in Detroit, 218 total. Now, I'm going to hit on playoff status for everybody for each game because I think that's going to be the more important thing to talk about, at least to start, so people know that information. The Bulls are, for all intents and purposes, locked in to the 9 seed. Per dunks and threes, they have a 99% chance to be the 9 seed. My assumption is they have to lose out and Atlanta has to win out. That is tough sledding. So we should assume that Chicago is hosting Atlanta in the play-in, in the 9-10. So the Bulls don't technically have anything to play for today. Like, in theory, they could fall, but, like, practically speaking, they don't have anything to play for. And that makes it tricky from a minutes projection standpoint, because these guys are getting a boatload of ownership. And I'm noticing now that I forgot to grab the FanDuel ownership, so let me grab that quickly. I've already taken the under on DeRozan, which I'm ready to pay for. But we have 50% ownership coming into DeMar DeRozan right now at 8,100. We have 40 coming into Kobe White, 30 coming into Vooch, 20 coming into Alex Caruso. It's not that I don't disagree with anything. We definitely have DeRozan projected a little bit more lofty than I do, but he looks great. You know, dominating a crappy Detroit team, not tough. Does 50% ownership seem a little healthy? It does. That seems a bit high. But, I mean, we have him 33% optimal, 50% owned. That's a bit over-owned, but nothing crazy. I'm happy to go to Kobe White, who has just been absolutely dreadful lately. 0.81 fantasy points per minute. I think he looks better than DeRozan if he's going to get a bit of an ownership discount. But he's also not playing this way lately. But he's 26% optimal. Vooch is 28% optimal. Those three guys, Kobe White, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, they are three high-level priorities for today. And you can see it in the ownership. I mean, I have Kobe White fifth. I have DeRozan 21st. I assume I bump him up a little bit throughout the day. And then I have Vooch sixth. I mean, I am trying aggressively to get to this Bulls team on this slate. And then we talk about Caruso getting 20% ownership. We have him 18% optimal. We gave him 34 minutes. That one would surprise me. They have absolutely no reason to go heavy on Caruso, a person that's like permanently questionable. So that's the only one that like really concerns me. They could play DeRozan 40 minutes and that doesn't really change anything, whether they're in the game or not in the game. So like that part I get. Caruso, they have no incentive to play additional minutes here. Just get him to the play-in and deal with it after that. But getting up to 34 plus minutes against the Pistons in a matchup where you're probably locked into the nine just doesn't look good. And maybe, just maybe, the team is looking at this situation and thinking, huh, is Billy Donovan even going to be our coach next year? Or is Billy Donovan going to bail on us and head to Kentucky? Just saying, they're talking. So I'm hoping that the team quits on him somehow. Don't know if that's going to happen, but for the rest of Chicago, we're not going to have Andre Drummond for this one. At least it doesn't look like it. He is doubtful after trying to dunk his own teammate. And Ayo Dosunmu is questionable, so keep an eye there. If he gets ruled out, that could create a little bit of value. You want to talk about the mid three of the Bulls. Kobe White, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, all high-end priorities for today's slate. Now, the Pistons, we got Cade Cunningham, questionable. This seems to be the case basically every day that we're out here. Noah Womon, who's with the G League team, Fontecchio, Grimes, Stewart, Asar Thompson, Moody, all out. Quentin Grimes, by the way, on the Detroit Pistons, not the New York Knicks. Sorry to tell you that, Stephen A. Smith. I could see how you could that could slip through the cracks, what with Grimes being on this team for the past 2 months and all. There's no ownership coming into this Pistons team other than 15% to Chimezie Metu, who's playing around 30 minutes a night. He's 5K. He's power forward center eligible. I think Durin looks better than Metu, but Durin is center only, so that like negates him a little bit. So I do think Metu is probably your best option. I wouldn't mind getting to Cade if he plays at 8,500, but who the hell knows? They have no real reason to play him. I'm a little surprised that he hasn't just already been ruled out for these final two games or three games or whatever the Pistons have left. So like if Cade plays, I'm okay with getting there. You know, I think you can make a case that Cade looks just as good as DeMar DeRozan today. But we have no idea if he's going to play. He's listed as questionable. I wouldn't be surprised if he sits, at which point I think Jaden Ivey then takes a real nice bump. He's 6,600 here, certainly sees a usage increase. He'll go from completely unrostered to way more interesting. And then maybe we can try and grab Malachi Flynn, dropping 50 fantasy points. Crispy, what's good? So keep an eye on the Cade news. That's the biggest piece here for Detroit. Metu's the one getting some love. Seems about right. We have Metu 14% optimal, 15% owned. We also have Cade out. And Marcus Sasser playing 30 minutes. That's, you know, maybe that's the case later. But with Cade being questionable, that's not how I'm going to project this one. One game down. Good start. Give me 1 second, guys. Anyway, let's keep it moving. Apologize. Had to return a couple DMs. All right, let's go to the Knicks. Knicks are 2.5 point favorites in Boston, 214 total. This is basically a useless game to talk about from the Boston side. And we'll talk about that too. Get it? Useless game to talk about, so we'll talk about it. No Randall. Everybody else for the Knicks is in. 24% ownership coming into Jalen Brunson at 9,600. Completely agree. He's back up to playing, you know, 38 minutes or more. 1.46 fantasy points per minute over the last month. Now, I don't have him there. I have him at 1.3. Still looks really good. I have him ranked 11th overall. We have him 20% optimal, 24% owned. You want to get to Jalen Brunson if you're getting to anything from the Knicks. Everybody else from New York is single-digit optimal. I think if I'm going anywhere else, DiVincenzo would be the first guy. Shooting guard, small forward, plays about 37 minutes a night. I think you could talk yourself into a little bit of Josh Hart. That's not really for me. I'd be more likely to go to OG Anunoby over Hart. But it's Brunson and basically nothing else. But this is going to look so different because... Oh, you guys can't see that. Give me a second. I got to grab my browser. Because I want you guys to see the injury report same way that I'm looking at it. Jaylen Brown, questionable. Drew Holiday, questionable. Al Horford, questionable. Kristaps Porzingis, questionable. Jason Tatum, questionable. Xavier Tillman, questionable. The whole starting five and Tillman are all questionable for today. So it's impossible to talk about Boston right now. I have nothing to add. What you guys should know is they have absolutely nothing to play for. They're locked into the one seed. It's not even close. They've been locked into the one seed for ages. So the way that I look at it is this. We can't break down Boston. I assume two or three of these dudes don't play and they stagger these guys for their next two or three games. That's my expectation. So whoever does play today is going to look decent. Because you're just going to have more guys off the floor. But until we find out who's going to be in and who's going to be out for Boston, it's impossible to talk about them. If they're all in, they look awful. But there's no way everybody's playing from the Celtics today. There's a reason the Knicks are 2.5 point favorites in Boston. We're going to lose, my guess, we lose three of them. Potentially four of them. Could be all five, I doubt it. But I don't think we're getting much of Boston. We are going to get a bunch of value here, though, whether that's Cornette at 4K, you know, Hauser's 4,900, which is kind of problematic. Pritchard's 5K, but if he starts, that's going to be fine. So keep your eyes peeled for Boston news later today. And more importantly, keep your eyes on NBA Live Before Lock later tonight. So hit that like button if you haven't done it yet. That will help us out. Schedule for the rest of the day is very simple. Coming up a little bit later, we've got MLB Live Before Lock. That should be going off at 11:30, I believe. Taking you all the way up to that 12:20 lock on the MLB side. And then later tonight, you know what? I don't know the schedule. I'm reading this off and I realize that I don't remember the thing that I read earlier today. So 11:30 MLB Live Before Lock. I'm back at 6 p.m. for NBA Live Before Lock with Eric. And then you get Greg and I on playback at 7. So pretty minimal day. Baseball's got a lot of weather issues coming up. So that's not going to be all that fun. If you didn't get in on the Masters promo, I feel bad for you guys. I wanted you guys to be able to play some PGA. I could help you out, though. UFC 300 is going to be taking place this Saturday. One, you should be watching this card. It is absolutely loaded. One of the biggest pay-per-view events in the history of the UFC. If you sign up for any MMA package at Stochastic, you can get it for 30% off using the promo code 300. So if you want to get our MMA sims, you want to get some lineups in for this weekend and then for subsequent weekends, Any package you choose for the MMA at stochastic.com is 30% off using the promo code 300. So take advantage, guys, please. All right, let's go to Houston. So the Rockets have their normal people available. They're 10-point favorites in Utah, 227 total. This is a team that you should really be getting to. We have around 35% ownership to Van Vliet, 30 to Green, Jalen Green, that is, 25 to Jabari Smith, around 20 for Amen Thompson, around 10 for Dylan Brooks. Even Cam Whitmore is getting a little bit of love, but he's 4,300. I love this team. I have Jalen Green fourth overall. I actually think he might be under-owned, even at 8,400. Jabari Smith played like 40 minutes his last two games. He's 25% owned. I have him ranked eighth. Two top 10 guys there. Add in a third. Fred VanVleet, 10th overall for me. 35% owned. Three guys that are high-level priorities. And unless somebody randomly gets ruled out, it's not going to change because Utah is awful. Worst defense in the league. And they play at a relatively fast pace. I will happily get to some Dylan Brooks. I will happily get to Amen Thompson. I will even get to a little bit of a 4% owned Cam Whitmore, even though he's only playing about 18 or 19 minutes. We have Jalen Green, 22% optimal. We have Fred VanVleet, 25% optimal. Brooks and Jabari Smith, right around 15. Amen Thompson with some negative leverage, but I'm still happy to get there. I have five guys on this team in the top 22. And then you could add in Whitmore at 33. Now, 33 is pretty far down the line for a slate like this, but you should be prioritizing in a heavy way Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, and Fred VanVleet. Now, for Houston, the Rockets have nothing to play for. They're already out, but I assume they're going to just keep letting it rip. They don't have to, so that is like the scary downside of some of this, but they don't really have the bench to support like not playing this one straight. And obviously Utah has absolutely nothing to play for. The Utah Jazz, no Clarkson, Collins, Dunn, Kessler, Markkanen, or Colin Sexton. That's thinning out the herd here quite a bit. We have 82% ownership to Talen Horton Tucker. Yes, you heard that correctly. 82%. He's 3,700. He's shooting guard, small forward eligible. He's my number one play. You are playing all of the Talen Horton Tucker. And you don't stop there. 69% ownership coming into a $3,600 Lukas Samanich. 69%. He is my number two play overall. So we have THT, my top play. Lukas Samanich, my second ranked play. And those guys are 82 and 69% owned individually. This is a no doubt about it spot to grab your value. You have to be playing a ton of Utah. We don't stop there, though. 55% ownership coming into Omer Yurtseven. Another 20 coming into Keyonte George. 10 plus to Darius Bazley. I think someone like Taylor Hendricks is interesting today. Not really getting a lot of love. You could definitely take some shots on Johnny Juzang if you want to. Completely a part of this rotation. I wouldn't be surprised if Bryce Sensabaugh played a little bit more today, but he's definitely like a large field GPP dude. But I don't know how you get away from these pieces of Utah because they're just so cheap. And Samanich and THT both have MPEs, including THT having the best MPE. So this is going to be the spot where you're grabbing your chalk value, and you have to. Assuming, and like you should, the starting lineup could be anything here, really. But they're pretty shorthanded. I mean, no Clarkson, Collins, Dunn, Kessler, Markkanen, and Sexton. You're missing basically like five of the six best dudes on the team. You just got to get to all things Utah. I mean, Talen Horton Tucker is like a fantasy point per minute guy, and he's 3,700. Lukas Samanich is like a 0.9 guy. He's 3,600. How do you get away from that on a five gamer? You just don't. You just have to eat some of this chalk. Now, maybe you want to get away from one of them. Maybe you don't want to run out Samanich, Yurtseven, THT. You want to swap one of those guys out? Fine. What are you going to do, though? You're not going to find better plays. We have THT 82% optimal. I'm not even sure I've ever seen that. We have Luka Šamanić, 52% optimal. We have Omer Yurtseven, 51% optimal. You got to play all three of these guys in abundance. Heavy, heavy, heavy exposure. Don't overthink this. They're the best plays on the slate. It's not even remotely close. Keyonte George and Darius Bazley both got into around 15% optimal, and they are miles away from THT, from Šamanić, and from Omer Yurtseven. This is the best spot on the slate, bar none, no arguments. The most ownership on individual players will be in Utah today because of the way that they're set up. So hope you guys enjoy the THT experience. Hope you guys enjoy the Luka Šamanić and Omer Yurtseven experience. This is the final week of the NBA regular season, and that feels like it. I mean, that's just gross. That's just gross. All right, so Golden State, 14-point favorites in Portland, 222 total. Now, the Warriors are in flux here. 50% chance to be the 9 seed, around a 30% chance to be the 10 seed. But that leaves them around 20% to either get to 7 or 8. So they care about this matchup a lot, and obviously Portland doesn't. Golden State is going to do everything possible to get to the 7-8. Whether they do that or not is up for debate, but you want to go out of... The difference between finishing 8th and 9th is a chasm. Being 9th is bad. Being 8th is great, because if you finish 8th, you only have to win one game. If you finish 9th, you got to win 2. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Golden State dial up the minutes a little bit more if they have to. Now, they're playing Portland. They're the biggest favorites on the slate. They probably don't have to. They can probably just win this one pretty easily. But you want to leave nothing to chance, and being able to win here would be huge, particularly because the Pelicans are playing Sacramento at the same time. If the Pels beat Sacramento, things start looking a lot better for Golden State's chances of getting into that 8 seed. Now, on paper, they don't look good. 14% ownership to Draymond Green. Everyone else on DK is in single digits. It looks like we're getting Steph back. We might have people out. Draymond's questionable. Saric is questionable. And Klay is questionable. I took Klay's under, by the way. So we might create a little bit of value here, but I think they're going to lean a little bit heavier on the starters, at least in the first half, to establish this game, because the win is huge. They do not want to face the Lakers in the 9-10. That is a dreadful scenario. Do everything you can to get to the 8. Steph at 9K at 4% ownership kind of looks like a sneak play if you want to like fade Jalen Brunson. So think about that. I think that he could look a little interesting there if you want to get different, because only 4% ownership for Steph. And look, Portland is not going to slow him down, that's for sure. But we need that news. Like, if Draymond doesn't play or if Klay doesn't play, we could probably squeeze some value out of Pajemski or Trayce Jackson-Davis, or honestly, the big one here would probably be Kevon Looney. If we happen to not have Draymond, you can get away with Looney in a matchup against Portland, and we would create a bit of a value there. But on paper, these guys don't grade out well. Highest ranked guy I have is Steph at 39. We got Draymond to 11% optimal, Steph to 8. Nobody else crossed 5. So it's tough to get to Golden State, but they need this game in a big, big way. Portland needs nothing, but they do have good plays here. $8,400 DeAndre Ayton is 22% owned. $6,900 Scoot Henderson is 27% owned. I have Scoot as the number 3 play on this slate, and I have DeAndre Ayton ranked 13th. I completely agree with that ownership, and I think they are high-level plays for today. We have Scoot 24% optimal. We have Ayton 19. Those are both good rates. We also have Delano Banton and Jabari Walker in and around 15% optimal, and those guys are not pulling that ownership. Well, Banton's 13, but Jabari Walker is 6. I think Ryan Rupert is reasonable at 4K. That dude stinks on a per minute basis. 0.59 fantasy points per minute over the last month. Not ideal. But there are pieces to get here from Portland. I'm more likely to focus on Scoot and Ayton. I'd rather get to the talent here. But I would not be surprised at all if Golden State really like puts their foot on their throat and drives them into the ground. This could be an ugly spot. But 6,900 for Scoot, given his usage rate, he's been a fantasy point per minute dude. I got him projected actually a little bit better than that right here. He'd be the guy I want the most. But I think Portland's in for a world of hurt because of how much this game matters to Golden State. And then finally, we get to the Pelicans. Don't forget to hit the like button. Sign up for Stochastic. Sign up for Odds Shopper. Oh, sorry if you lost the dollar deal, but nothing's stopping here. We've got models for everything. We take a market-based approach to beating the books. There's links in the description if you want to sign up. I use Odds Shopper every single day. You can make a case it's the best thing we've ever put together. It's all right there. Very quick information. Shop around. Get the best lines. Expected value. Expected win rate. Calculators and optimizers and odds boost calculator, everything you could possibly want on the sports betting side, guys. So don't sleep on it. Odd Shopper links in chat. And shout out to Sleeper. $500 deposit match bonus. I tell you guys every day, it's the easiest way to acquire money. That's the goal of all of this. You bet to acquire money. You play DFS to acquire money. Nothing's easier than acquiring money based on these bonuses. Play through it. If you hate the site, you can leave if you want to, or you can use Odds Shopper and give yourself even more plays. There's a link in the description to sign up for Sleeper. They will match any deposit you make up to $500. Take advantage of that. I max every deposit bonus I can because that is the freest money you could find. Steven, yeah, I mean, I just expect to, we're going to see, like, that Utah value is going to look overrated right now, because what if four dudes sit from Boston today? Then you don't have to immediately mortgage your future. Like, if THT and Luka Samanich start, you can't get away from those dudes because they're too cheap. But, like, if Boston wholesale sits their starters, we create a boatload of value. You know, maybe Chicago doesn't care and they ice a couple dudes from their rotation because they don't really have much to play for. That's sitting there. Houston could sit Fred VanVleet today and I wouldn't be surprised. What the hell do they want him to play for in this spot? Nothing. So, like, that's right there for us. And then we get to this final game. Pels Kings. This one has immense, immense ramifications. So the Pelicans. It's going to be at the top of the screen here. So the Pels are 65% to be the sixth seed. But the other percentage points drop them to the seven. And they're live to fall to 8, 9, or 10, depending on how weird the end of it goes. But really, they would like to be the sixth. You don't want to fall into the play-in. That's not going to be a good time. Now, the Kings are doing the opposite. The most likely scenario for them is to be sitting in the eighth seed. But if this game doesn't go well, they could fall to the nine. That's a doomsday scenario. If it goes well, they could jump to the seven and host this game potentially. That would be big. And they still have an outside chance of sneaking into the six if they can win out and get a little bit of help. But I'm sure Sacramento would love to host that seven seed game. I'm sure they'd actually like to play Golden State in it too, if they could host it in Sacramento. But the ramifications here are huge for either side. Someone is going to feel a lot better about their situation. Someone's going to feel a lot worse. Now, right now for the Pels, nobody's really getting any love. Trey Murphy got 12% ownership. Everybody else is in single digits. We don't know the status of Najee Marshall yet. He's questionable. I don't really love much of the Pels. If you're going anywhere, it's absolutely CJ, Zion, or Trey Murphy, the clear three best dudes. But I have CJ ranked 25th. I have Zion ranked 30th. We got those guys 10 to 15% optimal. Herb Jones sneaking in there at 9%, probably getting slept on a bit in DFS. I don't see anybody from the Pelicans that I immediately want to have, but I also think they're live to play, you know, 36. Like Zion's live to play 36. CJ's live to play 38, 39, 40 today. You can see big minutes from these starters. I can see Joval getting that normal 20 run just to be out there and deal with at least a little bit of Sabonis, or they play him 4 minutes like they did last time out, and you know, you end up getting a shit ton of Larry Nance. Either way, Nance could look interesting there. But it's CJ and it's Zion. There aren't priorities from the Pels. They just need to win this game. So does Sacramento. Now, they look a little different. Fox is playing 38 minutes a night. I have him ranked 7th. He's 27% owned. We have him 31% optimal. High-level priority for Fox. It's another reason why, with Fox's ownership and Brunson's ownership, Steph Curry might be a little sneaky tonight to win a GPP. Sabonis is 10-4. He's center only, 20% owned. I have him ranked 9th. We have him 24% optimal. And in terms of payups, you have free money everywhere. Paying up for Sabonis doesn't get any easier. You have the THT value. You have the Luka Samanić value. Neither one of those guys are centers. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Sabonis pull more ownership, but I'm happy to get there at 10-4. Ceiling is huge. Grades out well. They want to win the game, so he could play even more minutes, potentially get him up to 38 or 39 if you need it. And there's no limitations in salary. And then we have Keegan Murray. He's playing 36 minutes a night. Now, he is questionable for this one with some left calf soreness. He's 12% owned. I have Keegan Murray ranked 15th. He's 16% optimal. Those three guys look like a really nice core for Sacramento tonight. I didn't expect to get to the Kings a lot, but I think you need to. They stand out today. Now, I'm happy to take a shot on Trey Lyles, 3,800 and basically unowned. His ceiling, like, he could look like Luka Samanić at a lot less ownership today. It's not the same position, but 3,800 for Trey Lyles. They like playing him. The price works. The price works. So if he's 2% owned, I think Trey Lyles is getting slept on. We only have him 2% optimal. I'm a little bit more of a believer. I don't have much interest in anybody else here for Sacramento. It's a wild slate, guys. Wild slate. So this is my top rankings right now. THT at the top, Luka Samanić too. They're both heavily, heavily owned. But then I like Scoot, Jalen Green, and for me, Kobe White. We're going to cheer against DeMar DeRozan in the biggest way possible because we want to get his under. But that's where we stand for this slate, guys. It's hard to break down. We have so much in flux. The Boston game is going to create a ton of value. We just don't know where it is yet, depending on how many guys sit. And it also could create better payup options. Like, what if everybody sits but Tatum? We're going to get a lot of Jason Tatum tonight. So we got to pay attention to Boston. Eric and I will be back tonight at 6 p.m. to break it all down on Live Before Lock. And we'll be able to dig into a lot of things. With only 5 games, we'll be able to spend a lot of time. MLB Lock is at 12:20. MLB Live Before Lock is at 11:30. You don't want to miss that. Thank you guys for being here. Shout out to Sleeper. UFC 300 is Saturday. The promo code is 300. Get 30% off any MMA package at stochastic.com. Tomorrow is the final strategy show of the work week. I will be here Sunday, I believe, for like a Live Before Lock for the final time of the regular season. Then we don't have anything on Monday. Yeah, Aaron, we're not running any sims or anything because it's the last week of the regular season. Running this stuff is useless. None of this stuff is going to look like it does later. When we have such stupidity for injury reports and like teams playing guys, it's not, digging into that kind of stuff is just not really worth the time. Like, no matter what we run, it's useless. Like, the whole starting five for Boston is out. We have no idea who's starting for Utah. They've got 80% owned dudes. Like, all that's going to do is confuse people long term. Good luck, everybody. I'm going to get on out of here. I'll talk to you later. Enjoy everything today. Enjoy the Masters. Talk to you later. Hey, guys, still here.